There was a family getting ready to go on vacation, and the family members all had a very diverse taste in music. And so as a compromise for traveling music, they decided that each family member got to play for a while their choice of music, and the rest of the family couldn't complain about the choice as it was being played. And so the mother started off first, and she played her choice, which was Southern Gospel. And then after hers was completed, the oldest son then played his choice, which was contemporary Christian music. Well, then it was the youngest son's chance, and he played rock and roll. Well, it then finally fell to the dad. And the dad, well, what he played was silence. Now, that's a form of rest. In this case, it involved peace and quiet from what the father was feeling as stress. Habakkuk, as we have been looking over the last few weeks, has been under great stress. When your country has turned its back on God, when you know that it's about to be overrun by the Babylonian Empire, and you have been called by God as a prophet to tell the nation about the upcoming woes, to warn the people about what is about to occur, you know stress and you know problems. Well, we've made it to this last step in Habakkuk, godly responses when things go bad. We started this study with Habakkuk as reminding us that we need to always take our bad situations to God. In other words, we need to relate the matter to God, whether that is through prayer or worship or other means, but we need to take the issues to God. And then we saw that we need to recognize our own weaknesses. We need to come humbly before our God. We need to understand that we're not supermen, we're not superwomen, and that we cannot bear our problems alone. And then 2 weeks ago, we saw we need to review the greatness of God. Look at the wondrous things that God has done throughout history and realize that even though, yes, we have weaknesses, God doesn't have weaknesses. Last week, we looked at reaffirming our faith in God, coming back to God and realizing that Christianity is not about rule books. Christianity is about a relationship with the eternal God. And we need to reaffirm our faith back with Him, especially when difficult days come. Now, as you notice up there on the screen, they all began with an R. And so we're going to keep up with that theme because today we're going to conclude this series by looking at rest in the strength of the Lord. Rest in the strength of the Lord. You know, for some, this might be the hardest step to actually rest in the strength of the Lord. Why? Because true rest really goes against our human nature often. This is not rest like the father in the illustration had by having silence from all the music choices. This is something much, much greater. Now, in the world of music, there are all sorts of symbols concerning rest, signifying rest. We'll show you a few of them up on the screen here. There's what's called the whole rest. Looks like an upside-down hat. Then you have something called the half rest. They flip it the other way. Then there's the quarter rest. And that's not to be confused with the eighth rest. And then I didn't know it until I was studying. This is actually a 16th rest. Who said music ministers never rest? Now the thing about rest is, there's no music in rest. Often in the Psalms, and even in Habakkuk that we saw 2 weeks ago, there's a word called Selah. Selah. Now, there's a lot of discussion, a lot of argument by the scholars of just what Selah means. That means they really don't know 100% for sure. But there's many scholars who believe that Selah actually means rest because, well, let me just read. I mean, the last part of Habakkuk here, it says, after the scripture part, it says, "For the director of music on my stringed instruments." The whole book of Habakkuk is poetry to be put to music. Rest. Some believe that it's rest. Some believe it's maybe a musical interlude, this word Selah. But rest in music does not mean that the music has come to an end or that the music is over with. Actually, music is just preparing something in the rest. Many times during the rest in music, a transition is maybe getting ready to take place. Maybe the music will move from faster to slower, or slower to faster, or maybe it's going to get softer, or maybe it's going to get louder. Maybe it's about to bring in new instruments into the music. Rest is actually a preparation for a change that's about to occur in the music. It's not a time for all the musicians to take a nap. Well, when we say rest in the strength of the Lord, it does not mean that all things have stopped. It does not even mean that the bad situation is over with yet. Rest means there's a change coming our way. Change scares many people, let's face it. But this change is essential to our problem. Listen to Habakkuk's very last statement that we find written to us from him. In chapter 3, the last verse, verse 19. It says, "The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights." Habakkuk has been under great stress. He has been dealing with an awful situation. The nation that he loves and knows is about to be decimated. The city of Jerusalem is going to be flattened. There will be famine. There will be starvation. People will be carried off into exile. Some will be turned into slaves. Yet Habakkuk feels a strength that is beyond his ability. He recognizes that true strength comes from God. Look at just in this picture that he gave, he shares two things, two thoughts for us. The first is God's strength provides firm footing. He tells us that God's strength makes his feet like those of a deer as he climbs this rocky mountain. The deer can climb without a fear of falling. And Habakkuk is steady now. He has a sense of calm now in his life that he has not felt through this journey in this bad situation. But this picture gives us another clue. God's strength moves us to greater heights. Habakkuk reminds us that just as this deer can now climb the heights of that mountain, steady on his feet, but climbing the heights, God's strength gives us the ability to go places that we never thought that we could go before. We can go through situations that we never thought was possible, but it's all because of God's strength. Now, I've alluded to this before, but I'll flesh out the story a little bit. The fact that I'm standing here this morning speaking to you is the epitome of that truth. I hated talking in front of people. Even going back to grade school, I felt humiliated in school when I was called on in class to answer a question because I would get a brain freeze. I would know the answer, but as soon as the teacher asked me a question, it was like it all wiped clean. I would know the answer, but my brain would freeze up and I would be embarrassed. And when I got embarrassed, my ears would turn bright red. Now, they still does that now and then, but I don't feel the same as I did then. But just to show you how it stands out, there's one event that just stands out for me through all these years, and it goes all the way back to eighth grade. Okay, you know, I got to get some counseling, get over this. I got it. It goes back to eighth grade. I'm in Latin class. Now, that was a mistake in itself. I'm in Latin class, and the teacher calls on me for an answer, and I immediately go into my brain freeze mode. My ears begin to turn bright red, and one of my dear fellow students, who's sitting right behind me, goes, "Look at his ears, they're turning red." Wow. To think that God, well, let's say first, when it came to the 70s, I was glad it was okay to have long hair so I could cover my ears. But to think that God would call me into a speaking ministry was never my thought. I was going to be an accountant. I could hide away in an office somewhere or something. I don't know. I was going to be an accountant. It was the last thing I would think possible. It only came about because of the strength of the Lord. He took what was bad, and he gave strength and made something possible. Well, Habakkuk's writing reminds me of another prophet, the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 40, beginning with verse 28, says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Do you hear what Isaiah is saying here? When our hope, our confident expectancy is in God, all strength will be renewed. Strength will be like that of the soaring eagles. He soars up into the heights. Strength will be so that we can keep moving forward, that we don't grow tired while God moves within our hearts and within our lives. So we have the strength of the Lord. But what does that have to do with rest in the strength of the Lord? And what does that have to do with godly responses when things go bad? Well, rest here is not talking about taking a nap. Rest here is not a good night's sleep. Now, you may need both of those. Seriously, you may need both of those. You may have been so worked up and charged up over a problem in your life that you can't sleep at night. But that's not what we're talking about here. If you have honestly worked through these first four responses of Habakkuk's when things go bad, I hope that nights have been more restful. And I challenge, if not, go back and look what you've maybe missed. Look what you may have missed. Have you really related the matter to God? Have you really taken the issue to God? Have you really recognized your own weakness within this? Have you reviewed the greatness of God and then reaffirmed your faith? If you've missed out on any of those fours, you might still have long nights, but for sure, if the first four are absent, resting in the strength of the Lord will be difficult. Rest in the strength of the Lord is an outgrowth that comes from these other four. So rest in the strength of the Lord is not a nap. But what is it? In simple terms, again, it is change. Just as the music rest, or if that's what Selah means, is the key that something different is coming. Resting in the strength of the Lord is recognizing change as I deal with the problem in my life. What is that change about? Well, depending on your situation, it may be a little different, but I believe there's some similarities. You took those four steps. You take the problem to God. You say, God, I know I'm weak. God, I know that you're great and strong. You reaffirm your faith, and you've put full trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then you say, God, this is yours. God, this is yours. I personally don't have the strength on my own, God. When I give it all unto you, it also means, God, I'm giving you my problem. Walk with me through this situation, God. I'm not the ruler of my universe. The change is that the burden comes off of your shoulders and you give it to God to carry. You stop carrying the burden on your own. You stop clinging to the problem. There's different ways you can tell whether you're still clinging to the problem or not. One of them is if you're constantly thinking about the problem, then you're still clinging to it. If you're constantly talking about the problem, you're still clinging to it. And you need to let it go to God. You let God take your problem. Listen to the words of Jesus, what he had to say on this in Matthew 11, verse 28. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you are weary, if you have these burdens bringing you down, Jesus is there to give you rest. God will be gentle with us, we're told. But just as a yoke gives direction and the right course, his yoke will guide us on the path we need. You know what happens often with this, the animals and a yoke? Of course, it's taking two animals and connecting them together. And they would often put the more mature, stronger animal and yoke them with the younger, immature animal to teach the younger animal where to go, how to work. And that's what we do with God. We yoke ourselves with God and draw from his strength and grow in maturity in him. Oh, it doesn't say that all our burdens are going to be wiped away. That's not it. But we're able to stand and we're able to move forward in the Lord. And like that deer we saw that Habakkuk was writing about, we have this ability to stand now, even on rocky ground. And we're able to move to greater heights in our lives. Look at some outcomes from resting in the strength of the Lord. The first one is bring strength. And you go, well, that's a duh. But think about it. If we rest in God's strength, we're surrounded by his strength. And when we change direction and we trust him, we also have his strength to move into the change. Not move away from the change, but move into the change. Not in our old strength, but in his renewed strength. But it doesn't just bring strength, it brings confidence. And to be clear, we're not talking about personal confidence. We're talking about confidence in God. Confidence in ourselves goes back to pride, and we should have worked through that issue when we recognized our own weaknesses. No, we have confidence now that no matter what the outcome may be in the problem, that God's in charge, and he'll be with us each step of the journey. You know, as your pastor, it's impossible to please everyone. Was it somewhere in Scripture where two or three Baptists are joined together, there's going to be two or three different opinions? I think it's somewhere in there. Someone's always going to be disappointed. That's just the way it is. But I'm going to make decisions on the way God leads, not where man leads. And when I stand on God's promises and his strength, and you also, only then do we have confidence in Christ, even if there are others who disagree. Brings confidence, also brings peace. This is just a natural overflow of God's strength within us and confidence in him. when we are sure that God is with us each step of the way, it can only bring peace. And by the way, when we get to this part of the journey and we find this peace, we'll also be able to find more of that other type of peace, peaceful rest, peaceful sleep. Philip Melanchthon, I don't know how many of you know that name. I tested my wife this morning and she didn't, so I'm going to take it many of you don't know who Philip Melanchthon is either. He was a gentleman from the Great Reformation period, friend of Martin Luther. One day he went up to his friend Martin Luther and he said, "This day you and I will discuss the governance of the universe." And Luther had other thoughts. He said, "This day you and I will go fishing and leave the governance of the universe to God." Well, sometimes that's what we need to do. Actually, we need to always give God the governance of the universe. I have strength through peace because I don't need to run the universe. I don't need to be in charge. And way too many Christians live lives of anxiety and stress because deep down they're still trying to run the universe. It may be their small universe, but they're still trying to run the universe. My peace is that God is in charge, not me. Also, we find it brings joy. You know, when I'm at this step in the journey, when I've been through all this and I've come to this step, there's always more spring in my step as I walk around. My heart is feeling lighter and I have this renewed joy because even though I'm still maybe in the middle of the problem, it's no longer about me. It's now about what God can do through me in this event. And then last, this brings hope. Hope is not "I wish." Hope is a confident expectancy that God is the one in charge and He has my best interest at heart. And once again, it does not mean I won't have hardships. It does not mean that I won't have serious issues to deal with, but it does mean that I'm going to learn from them and I'm going to come out stronger and more mature as a Christian by walking through the valley of the shadow of my problem. Habakkuk's name actually means one who embraces. By the end of this book, he is found embracing God's sovereignty in the face of turmoil and suffering. Basically, it all goes back to something he said in the chapter before, in the second chapter. Habakkuk 2:4, "See, he is puffed up, his desires are not upright." And then he says, "But the righteous will live by his faith." The righteous will live by his faith. Trust. Trust. Trust that I trust God knows more than me. I trust that God has things in his hands. And how do I get there with my problems? Well, I take that step of faith of godly responses when things go bad. Relate the matter to God. Recognize my own weakness. Review the greatness of God, reaffirm my faith in God, and then rest in the strength of the Lord. In the Philippines, there's a story concerning rest. There was a driver of a caribou or water buffalo wagon, as it's called, and he was on his way to the market when, as he was going down the road, he came upon an old man who was carrying a heavy weight upon his shoulder. The caribou driver took compassion on this man and stopped and invited the old man to come and sit in the back of his wagon as they headed toward the market town. Well, gratefully, the old man accepted the ride and he climbed into the back. So they're going down the road a little further, and after a few minutes, the driver turns around to look at the old man to see how he was doing. And to his surprise, he found him still straining under the heavy weight on his shoulder. He got into the wagon and he never took the burden off of his shoulders. Well, resting in the strength of the Lord means you climb into God's wagon. You go the direction that God is leading, which is a change of direction from where we were going. But don't be like the old man. Instead, put the heavy weight your problem down and let God take the weight for you. I don't know this morning what's stressing you, what struggles you have been going through. I don't know the direction that you're being pulled, and often we're pulled in so many different directions. And maybe this morning you can come to the point where you can just rest in the Lord. You know, sometimes we have to be like Martin Luther and say, the universe is God to govern. I'm going fishing. I'm going golfing. I'm going whatever. But we need to rest in the Lord. And maybe that's what you need today, is rest in His strength. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ and you're here this day and you didn't realize that it's about a relationship with God. It's not about a rule book. It's about having a relationship with God, and you receive that relationship with Him by confessing your sin unto God. And you have faith that Jesus Christ took your sin on the cross, died for you, took your punishment. And you have faith and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and then you make that commitment to now follow Him. You confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord, and you choose to follow Him this day, and He'll forgive you of your sin. Or maybe there's other things that you just need to lift up in prayer. And as we come to our time of decision making, be open to God's Spirit moving in your heart and guiding you. Let's go to Him now in prayer, and then we'll sing together. Father, I thank You for the lessons from Habakkuk. And I think about sometimes the struggles and the difficulties we have, and then I think about the struggles that this man had, knowing the problems that are about to come upon his life. And Lord, sometimes I think our struggles seem so small. But Lord, they are still problems that we deal with. They're the situations that unnerve us, that stress us. And Lord, I pray that we come to the point where we can rest in You. And maybe it means just going out fishing. But Lord, we rest in You, and we depend upon You. And we say, Lord, whatever direction You take us, we'll be obedient to Your calling. Lord, I pray that Your will be done now in this time of reflection, of decision making, and that You'll be honored and pleased. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing together.